Introducing the Two-Way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the Two-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the Two-Way for yourself at NewBalance.com.
Good morning. It is Wednesday, December 22nd. You are listening to the College Football Daily. My name is Lance Glynn. So if you listened yesterday, I was joined by Chris Hummer to check in on the transfer portal with the early signing period having passed. And I mentioned at the end that today we will be discussing a program that just so happens to be doing pretty well in the portal. In fact, this program is doing well enough that right now they have the number one transfer class according to the 24/7 Sports team transfer rankings. And that, of course, is South Florida. Joining me now to discuss the Bulls' current 13-man transfer class is Will Turner of 24/7 Sports, Bulls247.com. Will, how we doing, man? Thanks so much for joining me.
Doing well down in West Palm for some basketball, but happy to hop on today.
Before we get into the specifics of this 13-man class and maybe talk about some of the players, I really just want to understand the why. And I have a theory, maybe you can validate, and I'd love to hear if Jeff Scott has said anything about this, but he's going into year three, 1-8 in year one, 2-10 in year two. He needs to show progress. Transfers more times than not are obviously more ready to play and more developed than your traditional high school signees. It seems to me like he's going heavy on the portal because maybe he's, I guess, kind of starting to feel a little bit of pressure at South Florida. Do you think that's the case, or is there another reason as to why he's emphasizing that avenue and acquiring players?
I think for the first time in college football history, we're seeing players that are entering the NCAA transfer portal that have already been in a college strength and conditioning program, that have eaten at training tables for 3 years now, and they have 3 years of eligibility remaining. And this is something that USF loves. This is a philosophy that USF loves to be able to take advantage of, because they see more value in experience and those guys that are, that have a lot of time left and that have already been in programs for a long time. They see more value in that and trying, as opposed to developing high school kids and, you know, potentially taking a chance on a high school kid and having to redshirt them year one. In terms of, you know, Jeff being feeling any pressure, I mean, obviously the record isn't very good at 3-18 over the last two seasons. You know, I wouldn't say that he's on any hot seat at the time that we're recording this. I mean, there's a lot of momentum. There's a lot of momentum in Tampa and South Florida with their on-campus stadium that's getting built or that are in talks of getting built. The indoor practice facility is finally getting built. So there's some good momentum there. And they want Jeff Scott to be the main catalyst of that. And they want Jeff Scott to be the main guy that has his name attached to it. So in terms of, you know, feeling the pressure, I don't think it's that. I think obviously you're kind of in win now mode, you know, regardless after going 3-18. Because, you know, you want to show the fans that you're committed to winning, and this is going to be the way they do it. But they needed to drastically rebuild their defense from 2021 to 22. And you take a look at most of their transfers and where are they on the defensive side of the football? And, you know, this is going to be a team that is going to have a drastically different defensive unit as a whole, which is something that we've just never seen. And it's kind of an experiment. You saw it a little bit with SMU, you know, one of the sister teams in the American, and now you're seeing it with USF.
10 signees right now via the high school route, the more traditional high school route, 13 transfers. Do you think he's done with both? Do you think they will continue adding from either the portal or in the more traditional way before the February signing period? Or is this kind of it? They'll go in with this 23 for the 2022 cycle.
I told Trey Scott yesterday, I think they've got five. They've got five left that they're looking at maximum. And I think a lot of those are going to be portal guys. When Jeff met with the media for early signing period, he mentioned, I want to say it was 1-2 offensive linemen, 2-3 defensive ends, and 1-2 corners that they were looking at. And they've added two defensive linemen, and Jatorian Hansford from Missouri and Rashad Chaney Jr. from Minnesota. And they've added those two guys. So that's kind of two of their three defensive linemen if they do take a third defensive lineman. But I think they could add a couple of offensive linemen, a couple of cornerbacks, and you know, we'll see what happens from there. But yeah, I think about 4-5 more from the portal. I think they're probably done on the high school route for now, and as they start looking towards 2023 to probably have more of a high school focused class to kind of be able to start rebuilding, you know, in terms of scholarship distribution on that end, so it doesn't get top heavy in 2024 and 25.
So let's start looking at this class. Five of the 13 transfers on the defensive line. You mentioned that earlier, obviously very defensive heavy in the transfer portal. It's clear that Jeff Scott and staff targeted that position group. What made them prioritize whether it was inside or on the edge of the line with guys like Rashad Chaney, Clyde Pinder, Nick Beggs, and of course some others?
Well, they've really struggled to create pressure on the quarterback, and that could be said for scheme. That could be why defensive coordinator Glenn Spencer was fired after the Tulane game, right before Thanksgiving, right before the final game against UCF. That could have been just a combination of the fact that they struggled to get to like 10 tackles for loss or something like that, or maybe 20 or 10 sacks is probably the better number that they struggled to get to. And they've struggled that in each of the last 2 years. You know, they've been one of the worst teams in the country in terms of getting pressure on the quarterback. And, you know, it's obviously, you know, when your best pass rushers are your two stud linebackers with Antonio Greer Jr. and Dwayne Boyles, and you can't really get any pressure from your defensive line, something's got to change. And, you know, a lot of people don't realize this is USF's defensive line coach is Daquan Bowers, one of the, you know, former best recruits in all of 24/7 Sports' database, you know, one of the best, you know, prospects coming out of Clemson, played a couple of years in the NFL with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He's their defensive line coach. And, you know, that's a guy that demands excellence and hasn't necessarily gotten it. And like I said, could be a combination of a few things, but yeah, they really wanted to revamp the defensive line. They bring back Clyde Pinder Jr. to the Bay Area. He's an Armwood High grad, which is right down the street from USF. James Ash from Wake Forest is right down the street from USF. He went to Chamberlain. And then Nick Baggs, actually, they were scouting Temple that week when Baggs hit the transfer portal. So it was kind of a match made in heaven there. Liked him the first three games. And then they were like, where'd this guy go? And they realized he hit the portal, so they were able to recruit him hard. And those guys are going to be pretty important to the puzzle. Hansford and Chaney, I haven't gotten a chance to really take a deeper look at them just because of the fact that they're brand new. But yeah, I've heard a lot of good things about Rashad Chaney. Good size at 6'2", 295. And Jatorian Hansford is a guy that they're really fired up about to be a true edge, maybe stand up a little bit on the outside and kind of be a versatile defensive end / outside linebacker for him.
And someone who really caught my eye in the transfer class for USF is Azu. He's obviously someone who stands out both talent-wise and frankly, height-wise from the rest. A big receiver standing at 6'4". Being able to pair him with Xavier Weaver, Jimmy Horn Jr., that could make for a dynamic receiving trio. He's also USF's highest-rated transfer. What are the expectations for him next season with obviously the pedigree of coming over from a school like Clemson?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting kind of to see how he fits into the mix. Xavier Weaver had a terrific 2021 last year and was Timmy McClain's favorite target, which was really cool to see for X. He's been a guy that's grinded. But Joe gets into the mix. I mean, 6'4", 224, obviously, you know, was very highly recruited coming out of Clearwater Academy International via Canada. Again, kind of reestablishing that pipeline from Clearwater Academy International. You and I could have a whole other discussion on what they've done over the last half decade. But yeah, Joe's going to be interesting to see how they want to implement him. They're going to have, by my count, 12 scholarship wide receivers for next year. So that's a lot of snaps to distribute among a lot of folks. So we'll see how he goes. I mean, but 6'4", 225, it's hard to keep him from off the field. And it was a really cool moment for Joe because Jeff Scott was his primary recruiter at Clemson. So he was able to bring him back once he hit the transfer portal. And again, just another match made in heaven there. But in terms of expectations, I kind of see him sliding in definitely as a wide receiver one, wide receiver two type of guy that could really, really create some separation on the outside and really, you know, take over games because that's what he did in high school over at CAI. And I think he could do the same thing at USF, you know, once he gets that chemistry with Timmy McClain and some of the other quarterbacks.
Well, a couple more from me. 11 transfers in 2020, 9 in 2021, 13 now. Is this just something Jeff Scott is doing because he's only going into year 3 and obviously dealt with COVID in year 1? Or do you foresee this kind of becoming a trend at South Florida where they go lighter on high school kids and heavier on more ready portal entrants, you know, in years to come?
You know, it's a really interesting question. New defensive coordinator Bob Shoup called USF the great experiment in kind of what they're trying to do, you know, just as a guy that by early signing day had only been in the program for a few days at that point. So he's kind of on the outside looking in and told folks that, you know, what they could do, it could be a trend setting job in college football. It's interesting, especially for a group of five school as well, to be doing this because, you know, obviously with college football, with the playoff expansion potentially on the horizon and with conference realignment, USF was obviously left out. They're staying in the American while UCF right down the road on I-4 goes to the Big 12. It's going to be really, really interesting to see how this develops. But, you know, they took a lot more high school kids last class than they did this one. I believe they took close to 18, if I remember right. Go back and look here. Yeah, they took 18 between high school and JUCO, and they ended up having 21 in their class with a couple of gray shirts and one that never made it to campus. So, you know, they took a lot more high school kids last year. There were a few walk-on transfers in that 11 that you mentioned, or the however many that transferred last year. So, but yeah, this is the year that they went in on it. I think this is going to be one of those situations that they kind of see how it goes for next year. They see if they have success with it, and then they'll kind of reevaluate what they want to do. But this is going to be a big year for them. So, you know, I asked Jeff Scott kind of a similar question. I was like, you know, just your overall, you know, thoughts and opinions of the transfer portal. And he said, ask me in 2 years, which is true because, you know, we'll see how they look in 2 years just based on, you know, some of these guys pan out.
And last one for me, and I guess this 2 year window kind of comes into this question. Do you think prioritizing the transfer portal the way they are, is that sustainable? You know, obviously it's a quicker fix than the more traditional build up with high school recruits and having to develop them over the span of 4 or 5 years. But do you think this is the right move for USF long term?
You know, it's tough to say at this point because a lot of a successful program is your culture and is bringing in guys that are culture fits and bringing in guys that will mesh well and have good chemistry, not just on the field, but in the locker room, in the dining halls, all that stuff. So I think it's going to be really, really telling for USF. I think they had some guys this year, Jaron Mangum, the Colorado transfer, DeMarcus Gregory, the Ole Miss transfer, Will Jones from Kansas State, Christian Williams from Miami. Those guys did a great job of being culture fits for what Jeff Scott wants to do. And think about, you know, where he came from too, is the Clemson co-offensive coordinator under Dabo Sweeney, and, you know, very family oriented, culture driven program. You know, say what you will about how the Tigers and how they run their program, but Jeff comes from that, and he's really done a fantastic job of implementing that culture to a T in Tampa with what he's done. So the biggest thing for them is finding culture fits. And I think that's why they waited a little bit longer to start signing some of these transfers and really start the close, is because they wanted to make sure they could get these guys on official visits, meet their families, meet their parents, meet, you know, their grandmas, meet their grandfathers, just to meet the whole family, see if the guy is, see if not only the player is a culture fit, but see if the family is a culture fit for what they're trying to do. So in terms of sustainability, you know, I think the culture aspect is going to play a huge role into it. I think what USF is building with their indoor practice facility and their on-campus stadium hopes, I think that's going to be a really big piece of the puzzle. You know, a lot of these transfers are coming from programs like Minnesota, Clemson, Missouri, Kansas State, even UCF with Mike Lofton. They're coming from programs that have established facilities, and USF doesn't have that. So that's going to be an interesting aspect to it as well. But in terms of the overall, is it sustainable? You know, we saw SMU had some really good success with it, you know, made a couple of bowl games, kind of turned that program around. They're having their best stretch year since the 1980s and in their heyday on the Hilltop. And I think you could start to see some things like that with the good momentum that USF has, especially if they can really start hammering home some high school kids for 2023 and beyond.
You know, it's funny, Jeff Scott obviously coming over from Clemson, a program that completely basically ignores the transfer portal, and obviously USF really hitting the transfer portal early in Jeff Scott's tenure down in South Florida. You can follow him on Twitter at WTurner247. Will, thanks so much for coming on, man. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Lance.
Make sure to check out Bulls247.com as well. For Will Turner, I am Lance Glynn. Tune in tomorrow for the next edition of the College Football Daily.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.